Welcome to the best idea for a podcast of all time. This is Champs in the Making, a Pokemon bracket podcast. We're putting all of the Pokemon into a bracket and sending them to Christian Hell one by one. I am Oak. I use he, him pronouns. And with me, same Discord order as last time.
LB. Hi,
that's you.
Wow. I use she, her, and I didn't fuck it up this time.
And next.
It's me, Jocelyn. She, her. Yay. Yay, Jocelyn's here. Come on, guys. Let's clap.
Yay.
Yes. I don't know what the fuck I'm saying.
And finally, we have...
Sorry, I'm too busy clapping for Jacqueline. I don't know if I have time to say that my name is Jay and I use he and they pronouns, and I'm happy to be back again.
Okay, well, let's just get right into it. So our first matchup is Lugia versus Palisand.
Oh,
I think Palisand is such a clever and elegant design.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, so, like, Lugia is a huge, like, that is, like, the Pokemon of Gen 2, I feel like. We have had rounds where people have been very, like, it doesn't matter what it's up against, no, it's Lugia wins. Do we have that energy in this call with the four
of Lugia.
Us? You hate
I
Lugia.
I like Lugia.
Why do you hate Lugia?
I don't know, its design is so messy. Like, this to me looks like a water type. But it's what? Fucking...
Psychic flying,
fairy and flying? Psychic flying?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just kind of a mess. I think that it doesn't even look like a bird. It just looks like a guy with weird legs and yaoi hands. that's it. It's Palisand for me. There's nothing that can change my mind.
That's fair. Clown, what do you think of these two?
Yeah, Palisand, easy.
Shit.
Yes, yes.
I think I'm Lugia, though, actually. Jay, what do you think?
So, no, I want to hear what you like about Lugia, because I don't, like... I think it's Palisand for me, too. Lugia is like, interesting more than I care about it. I am a Ho-Oh guy if I'm picking one of, like, those legendaries by a mile.
Yep.
An opinion for which I've been unfairly lambasted by people on this show in the past. Not really. But Lugia is fascinating because it was originally... it was created by the director of a lot of the Pokemon anime. It wasn't created, like, for the games originally. It was created for the second movie by... a guy whose name I forget that there's a really good Did You Know Gaming video on about how he was, like... a kind of insane alcoholic who was just bringing very fever dreamish ideas to the studio whenever he could.
Okay.
And that Lugia eventually becoming like a mascot of one of the games was really depressing for him because he had a whole other like vision for it and like what it represented as a Pokemon. That's all interesting. As a Pokemon, it's Palisand by a mile. Like, it's a haunted sand castle. That's so fun. The 3D model of it, the little shovel on his head spins around, it rotates. It's got that big drawbridge mouth so it can swallow motherfuckers. It has like an ability that's based on, you know, what happens to sand when tides come in, water compaction.
Yeah.
I think, like, it's got everything going for it. It's hard palette. It's shiny is black because it's based on there's a beach somewhere in Hawaii that has black sand because of, like, volcanic crystals in the sand. Mm-hmm. It's got everything. It is one of the best Sun and Moon designs. Easy. It's a great design.
It's also 4 feet tall.
Damn.
I get it. I get everyone's affection for Palisand. To me, it's kind of nothing. I don't want to... I'll speak for Lugia. I think that Lugia, because it has such a weird and unique history within the games, I think that that is more interesting than just, like, what's another, like, children's plaything? Okay, put a ghost in it. And that's always a fun concept, for sure, but I think Lugia is more unique. It really feels like some sort of, like, deity of the seas or the world or weather or whatever it is to me.
Yeah,
I like XD Gale of Darkness. I like Shadow Lugia. That's a big game in my childhood that I think about when I think of Pokemon. But I get it. You know, I will be the... If people like Palisand that much, Palisand can survive.
All right, Alexan, who's on to round six?
We just made what was probably going to be the most controversial decision in this round of champs.
Yeah.
Damning Lugia to hell?
Yeah, absolutely.
Frankly, anyone Listen. Who has an issue can go fight me on Twitter, at OakAlexandra.
One of the last times I was on this show, Groudon got damned to hell, and that's my guy. I feel nothing.
We are here to kill legendaries. It's so true.
Clown, why don't you introduce the next one?
The next one is Shedinja versus Fuecoco. I am Team Shedinja because I think it's a fun gimmick, and also just knowing, like, when Gen 9 first came out and the Showdown, like, updated their site to have all the Gen 9 stuff, Shedinja was there for, like, 5 seconds in the National Dex thing before getting immediately banned forever. Because you could just make it, like, literally invincible because Terra typing. And there's just nothing that could be done.
That is amazing. Shedinja got through, like, last episode, or, like, the episode before it. And I understand why. Shedinja's cool. It's a fun gimmick. I don't think the gimmick is... But also, this is just Fuecoco. It's a cute little crocodile, but there are also better cute crocodiles.
This is not a great matchup, but I also feel nothing about this bug. At least the alligator is cute.
This is the hardest matchup of the night for me.
Okay, yeah.
Because, all right, so Shedinja, it has the whole, like, Shedinja's so cool because how you get it is you have Nincada, which evolves into Ninjask, sheds its skin. If you have an empty slot in your party, that skin becomes Shedinja. It becomes a second Pokemon. Like, what a weird bonkers concept for that. Cloud mentioned the whole invincibility thing. It has an ability where it can only be hit by super effective moves. So it's also just, like, strategically funky. I think it looks kind of like... Excuse me. It's always reminded me a little bit of Baltoy, another Gen 3 Pokemon, which is, like, based on, like, clay... I think Aztec, like, clay models and stuff like that. It just has this cool, like... I like its little wings. I like its weird sort of sideways slit eyes. I think, you know, it doesn't just look like a ghost haunting a dead corpse. It looks like just a weird, like, almost sort of alien bug. Fuecoco has that Gible energy, and after what was done to Gible last episode, I do kind of want to support that Gible energy. Fuecoco's got, like, incredible amounts of character to him. I like his little sprig of hair. This is genuinely incredibly difficult for me.
I get it. Yeah, like, Shedinja... So, interesting thing about Shedinja is that I think it's representative of sort of a shift in Ghost Pokemon, where the first couple generations of Ghost Pokemon were all, like, these little spirits that you could imagine you could meet, like, flying around in the woods at night, right? Like, when you're walking through your back... Well, like, the forest in your backyard or something. Like, that's a haunter. That's a fucking... not Miss Magius, but the baby one. Mischievous. Meanwhile, Shedinja is this whole, and all the various weird, like, ruins and clay statues and all that of Gen 3 kind of shifts ghosts into these, like, totemic, sort of, like, possessive, really interesting different takes on ghosts. Is Shedinja even a ghost? Wait.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Okay. It has a little halo, but to represent that's dead, like Goku. It's like Goku, all but for Shedinja, because it's like Goku. Okay.
People are always
Shedinja
saying that.
Shedinja is like Goku. Yeah. I think as I was talking about that, I have talked myself into Shedinja, because I said all that, and I was like, yeah, these are all reasons I think Shedinja's cool. I look at Fuecoco. This isn't nothing, but I kind of just, I don't know, I like looking at Fuecoco. It was my starter in Gen 9, but at the end of the day, I can feel myself having way more to say about Shedinja. So it's Shedinja for me.
Shedinja haunts my nightmares. I don't like how it looks.
Clown, where are you at?
I'm Team Shedinja.
All right.
I just like him.
Well, sounds like 3-1 we've got Shedinja going through.
No super effective moves can hit it.
That is pretty incredible, and we will see if that takes it all the way to the end.
Well, Jacqueline, do you want to introduce the next one?
Yeah, I will. Donphan versus Unknown. Easy Donphan for me. Easy Donphan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's the funny letter guys that let you say fuck in Gen 4 on Pokeballs, but it's like...
I'm torn on these funny little letter guys. Donphan, I like... Because, yeah, you know, he curl up into a ball and look like a big tire. Very cool. But, like... So, are they cool or stupid, the Unknown? How do we all feel about, here's a bunch of little eyeballs that are letters, like, just on a base level?
I think both.
Yeah, I think it's one of those where if you see two Unknown, it's like, oh, that's kind of dumb. But then you see, like, a photo or, like, a scene from one of the movies where it's, like, Arceus with, like, a billion of them, and you're like, okay, damn, all right.
Yeah.
I get it.
It's kind of like, you don't want to just have one Unknown. Like, okay, everyone, if you could pick just one Unknown, which letter would you choose?
Exclamation point.
Listen, if we work together, we can spell out fuck.
I was going to choose K, actually.
Okay, all right.
I like you because I feel like I could just, like, hold you in my hands and just, like, use it as, like, brass knuckles or something.
Whoa.
I kind of like X for, like, a similar reason. It looks really throwable.
I like Z for a similar reason. That motherfucker's a boomerang. Are you kidding me? Or S, I guess.
This is maybe, like, not good to be doing to Pokemon. What are we doing? Like, maybe we shouldn't be trainers.
Hey, no, we turned two of them into kettlebells earlier.
Right.
It's fine. We're sending them to biblical hell. It can't get worse.
What looks like what, Oak?
Oh, I was saying that both K and I kind of look like Bobbits. You guys remember Bobbit?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You
should
remember
not Bobbit or Twister.
Yeah, Clown, do you know what a Bobbit is?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay.
All right, the kids are all right! The kids are all right.
So,
any?
Yeah, do we have any other thoughts on Unknown or Donphan?
Nah, I sent a photo of the man just being tortured in an unknown space.
That does have to come up every time, right? Because, like, in the games, they're just funky little guys you find in caves. But in one of the movies, they're like the celestial code of the universe. Like, they grant a child's wish and create a legendary Pokemon out of thin air to replace her dead father or her trapped in the unknown dimension father. Like, okay. They're kind of insane in the third movie.
They send a kid's dad to the unknown dimension and replace it with a lion.
With Entei.
Send his ass the shadow.
Crazy.
Yeah. But like, so
are
like,
there
like,
any?
Is that a positive or a negative? Like how do you? I don't know. It's hard to like factor that in for me because that's not like what they are in the games at all. But it is still like part of their deal. You know,
it's cool, but not as cool as Donphan is.
Tell me more about Donphan. Say more about Donphan.
Donphan is just like, look at this sick Pokemon. It's one of the best. You want to see this guy walking around in your neighborhood. It's gonna roll. It has unique movement. It rolls around. It's fun to watch in like an anime battle. I like its, like, it's got a very simple design. I like that it has the big cute ears. I like its tusks. I think it has the little stompy feet because it doesn't need to walk around fast because it can roll around fast. So it has cute little stompy feet. It's a perfect sign.
I would also like to say that Donphan is an elephant, and I like that.
Absolutely.
Valid.
You know.
Okay. Any unknown voters, even?
I'm
not voting for unknown, but I did just remember the Heart Gold and Soul Silver, if you get Arceus and take it to the Unknown Ruins, you, like, can go into a wall and get teleported to a place called Sinjo and then get Arceus to make you an egg of one of the Sinnoh legendaries. And also, there's just several real-life photos that play as a cutscene.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Mew under the truck kind of thing to me.
No, but it's
dead-ass
real.
That's crazy. That is real. And I forgot Unknown are in that. I am voting for Unknown. The more we're talking about it, older Pokemon games did, like, puzzles around alphanumerics and stuff. You have the unknown, you have Gen 3 and its Braille puzzles.
Yeah.
And I just like that they used to do that, so I'll be the unknown, Stan.
So, Clown?
Yeah, I'm Team Dawn fan, I think.
And Jacqueline?
I've been hyping up Unknown this entire time.
Yeah!
Yeah, I'm also Dawn fan.
Alright, Dawn fan moves on to round 6. Jacqueline, you introduced this one, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Jay, what's the next lineup?
Oh, matchup. we got Mareep versus Ursaluna up next.
I don't even know what the hell Ursaluna is, but it's easy for me. It's Mareep. Look at that sheep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Mareep.
It's Mareep. We don't need to talk about this. I like the big bear. We don't need to talk about it. It's fine.
Yeah, Ursaluna's fine. It's Mareep. Yeah.
So, let me look at what the next matchup is. Drifblim versus Corvisquire. Why do they have to make these names so fucking hard to read?
More importantly, why is Corvisquire here?
Oh, I can answer that. It's because friend of the network Raven, whose entire thing is around ravens and crows, was on an episode where I think Corvisquire last showed up. Also,
is this the best picture of him?
It can't be. Here, I can get you a good one.
I know I was like talking shit about like Pokemon that are just children's toys with ghosts in them. But Drifblim is a really good is one of the best variations on that.
Drifblim is kind of like the children's toy with a ghost in it.
This is a tough one because it's like a Pokemon with an incredible concept versus a Pokemon that I think has like a more pleasing visual design. I think Corvisquire is like one of the it's a bird with 3 evolution stages and this is the middle one. I think this is a very like slick, cool looking middle one.
Damn,
like its wings are like
one?
Not yeah, it evolves into a flying steel type, so you can see its feathers are like turning into knives kind of. I like that a lot. Meanwhile, Drifblim, like yeah, it's a ghost hot air balloon that floats with the miasma of the spirit world. I actually don't know like exactly what the ghost connection is, but it's just a weird freak that I like a lot.
I think I like the other balloon Pokemon better. I think this one kind of gets a little complicated with it. I do like the cloud on it, I guess, but I really think it's Corvisquire for me. The color palette is so nice. I like its like pose in its default picture. He looks like a friendly little guy, though his eyeball does seem to go over his eyelid, which is confusing.
Yeah. What's happening there, Corvisquire? Are you okay?
I think I asked Raven this, and they had an answer that was actually like a good answer, but I don't remember what it was. Oh,
I'll buy
no,
it.
I
buy
do remember
there's
what
something
it was.
With corvids.
I do remember what it is. It's that like the eyes are actually like ovular eyes, but like the black of its head is meant to be like it growing up to look more intimidating than it is. Like that's from far away, it looks like, you know, if you cover the top half of that red eye, you'd see like what looks like a way bigger, intimidating, like kind of anime, slanty anime eye, but really just the red is its eye. The pale part under the bottom half of it isn't part of its eye, it's just part of its fur. And so it's like an intimidation thing, which I think is actually pretty cool as I'm talking about it.
That's interesting. That's a like optical illusion type of Pokemon. I like that sort of thought put into how it like it exists in its environment and stuff, because I really can't read it as anything other than like the like half closed eye like glaring at you image.
Clown, what are your thoughts?
Me?
Yeah.
I'll be real, Corvisquire just isn't much to me. Mm-hmm. It's like I look at it and I'm like, yeah, that's a middle evolution bird. It loses out in my mind to like Rookidee and Corviknight for like different reasons, I guess.
Yeah.
And I like Drifblim.
Yeah.
I don't know, I just like him.
That's fair.
I'm on your side, Clown.
Where are we landing here? Are we 2-2?
I'm deciding.
Come on, Jay.
I know.
Grab onto the tendril. Put it in the air.
I may have to grab onto the tendril. It's really close because I do like that, like everything we just said about Corvus Squire's design. But Driftblim is like, so it's kind of like, Jacqueline, you were talking earlier about how ghost Pokemon in early gens are all kind of like, here's a ghost, right? And then they kind of get more into like haunted objects and haunted other things. I think Driftblim is a really good example of like, I don't think they are literally ghosts possessing balloons. I think they're just Pokemon that look like that. But It looks like a ghost possessed this balloon and something, like, irreversibly. Like, the ghost will never unpossess this balloon, you know what I mean? It's fucking in there for good. It, like, transforms. It reminds me of, in Sun and Moon, there is the Ultra Beast that a character, like, fuses with and gets consumed by. It looks like that happened to a normal hot air balloon in a way that the more I'm talking about, the more I'm like, yeah, this motherfucker, this thing slaps. Like, it's a hot air balloon, but still looks like a creature, which I think is important.
Probably
like,
literally slaps with its weird, funky balloon arms.
They didn't give it. Yeah, exactly. You let that thing spin, it'll slap everyone in a mile radius. I like that bottom red bit is like the fire you'd blast up into a hot air balloon, but it's not literally that. It's just like the same color. I think that's like a smart choice. It doesn't have like a basket it's carrying. Like, they knew when to cut off it being a hot air balloon to make it still feel like a creature to me. And I think that's going to edge it out.
All right. Well, that's 3-1 for Driftblim. Driftblim moves on to round 6. Clown, what's the next matchup?
Let me see. It is Nidoking and Pichu.
Hardcore hydrogen bomb coughing
versus...
baby.
Yeah. Same joke. It's Nidoking, right?
Yeah, it's Nidoking, easy.
Like I'm not even that big of a Nidoking fan, but it's like, yeah, it's Nidoking.
I'll say like Pichu, but I'm not going to fight for him.
This is tough. Nidoking is like a classic kaiju-ass Pokemon. Pichu is one of kind of few baby Pokemon that I think have like good designs. I like that its big ears are like have way more of that black on them that kind of recedes as it becomes Pikachu and then more as it becomes Raichu. Mm-hmm. I think it's just got a funny little body and head shape. But Nidoking is like, it's such a good kaiju looking, like it's such a big beast, and I do like a beast.
Yeah, I'll say for Pichu, if you like, one of my favorite things about Pokemon was all the little, like, here are the baby Pokemon and we have little animated shorts of them like running around a city. Like that's I feel like nobody ever talks about those, but they're like some of my favorite Pokemon content ever. Same. And I love Pichu in that, but also, to be honest, it's not the most interesting baby Pokemon to me. I think they're better baby Pokemon. And Nidoking is just such a classic, like, final generation, this tough motherfucker. I like Nidoqueen better, but I think Nidoking is still good. And it's got a powerful, powerful body.
It is, looking at its 3D model in our Google Sheet, it is a Pokemon that, like, the 3D games did dirty, because I don't know, the ears are weird. Like, back in the day, it looked a lot, I know I keep saying kaiju, but it looked a lot like just, here's Purple Godzilla, in a way that was really fun, and I feel like it's lost a little bit of that.
Yeah, the 3D design doesn't do it justice.
Also, it's, like, really small in 3D, which is, like, damn.
It's the Charizard thing again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, where are the votes here, Clown?
I'm Team Nidoking.
Jacqueline.
Nidoking.
Jay.
I think I'm sticking with Pichu.
I'm also Pichu.
Does
anyone else
tiebreaker.
Have somebody else in their home, or should I get my wife again?
Do we want to dump it into the Moonshot chat?
Whoever says an answer first gets it. I think that's the way to do it.
Let me pop a message into general.
Do it.
I'm guessing somebody's going to say Nidoking. I think Riley is going to jump in right away with Nidoking. That's my bet.
Either Riley with Nidoking or Jory with Pichu. Like, we do have, like, That's, if I'm being honest, that is maybe the most stark dichotomy across the whole network.
Pichu, Martin gives it Pichu.
Yep. All right.
Let's go.
Martin, I'm going to kill you.
I'm not. Smiley face.
All right, so Pichu moves on to round six. Jay, what's the next matchup?
Ooh, next up we've got Jigglypuff versus Golett.
I will be real, because I remember last time I was on this and Martin said, and I, well, actually, I don't quote because I don't remember exactly, but it was something along the lines of, if Golett doesn't make it past this round, I'm going to blow myself up. And there's a really funny petty move I could do of just being like, yeah, it's Jigglypuff, but I'm not gonna do that. I like Golett.
I like Jigglypuff.
Two round little kids.
Yeah.
What did I say? Riley jumped right in after Marn with Nidoking.
Amazing.
I do really like Golett.
Azumarill. You can't talk.
Something I like about Golett, I like when a Pokemon has, like, so the thing about Golett is, like, you can see where if it withdrew its little arms and legs in, you can see, like, the chunks of rock on its arms and legs that would still, like, be exterior, right? Like, you can see how they kind of fit in so he can scrunch up and become a little ball if he wants. And I like when I can, I like being able to, like, visualize that when I look at him.
Golett's a Bakugan to me. I feel like I could roll a little orb out onto a metal magnetic card and it would pop out into Golett, and that really is a big plus for me.
I don't think I've thought about Bakugan in fucking 20 years. I do like Golett because I like a Pokemon with accessories. He's very fashionable. He's got like the... It's got kind of a Kingdom Hearts thing going on with two belts at the same time.
Oh, yeah.
The arm shields. I do like that he's a little golem, but I like Pikachu. Round, I love the little hair. The eyeballs are really cute.
Did you just call it Pikachu?
Whatever, Jigglypuff. You know, the pink Pikachu.
It is kind of the pink Pikachu. It's one of those mascots.
Yeah. No, it is. That's fair.
This was one of my favorites when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's fair. Its shtick does very little for me. I liked encountering a Jigglypuff, but like it gets out a little microphone and sings and then draws in your face. It's funny, I guess, but it's, you know,
does that in the games, right?
Yeah, but by now, yeah, you can count stuff that's in the anime. We just talked about Unknown opening a portal to a different dimension.
I just thought that Jacqueline was like, you encounter it. I'm like, does it do that?
It doesn't, but you can imagine it doing that. Okay. And it does do it in the anime, I mean to say. Golett is, like, kind of perfect to me. I'm on the side of Golett here.
Yeah, I agree with Jacqueline. Jigglypuff's stick never did that much for me. There's, like, six different Pokemon in Gen 1 that are just a round pink thing, and Jigglypuff is not my favorite of those.
Yeah.
Like, to me, Jigglypuff is weaker Clefairy. Clefairy, absolutely. Like, if I were to pick, easy and no contest. Like,
Clefairy's
I don't
just
know.
Pointy Jigglypuff.
Yeah, that rocks. I don't know. It's Mystic Jigglypuff. Jigglypuff's fine. It just doesn't do a lot for me. But yeah, Golett is like, here's an idea. I think both Golett and Golurk are, here's a more specific concept for a Pokemon that we fucking aced on the first try. Like, I could not imagine an interpretation of a golem into a Pokemon like that is, like, better executed than Golett and Golurk, both of them.
Here's something for Jigglypuff, is that it does have such a cute hairstyle.
Yeah, I was gonna say, in the hair.
Here's something bad for Jigglypuff. Imagine it in any other direction or pose, and, like, imagine it, like, because that's not hair, that's, like, a little antenna or something. I think it would look really weird, just, like, wiggling it around and stuff.
No, I think it's fluffy. I think that's what it's like. I kind of think that Jigglypuff is kind of like, kind of downy, you know?
Okay, that makes sense.
I could also see it be like uncomfortably fleshy, though.
That was my worry. I imagine like a Lickitung texture.
They do. I apologize for the bad YouTube thumbnail I'm sharing this through, but they do that gag in the anime where Ash goes to school, yeah. and there's a circle, and they're asked what Pokemon it is, and the teacher's like, oh no, it's not a Voltorb or an Electrode, it's a Jigglypuff as seen from above.
It's such a good bit.
That's incredible.
It's a really good bit.
It's like in The Simpsons when they're in a movie theater, it's got a pre-thing where it's a silhouette and scrambled like actor's name, and it looks like Tom Hanks, but it turns out to be Odum Shank.
Amazing.
Oh, very good. Do we have, so how are our votes looking?
Jigglypuff.
Golurk.
Golurk.
Golett.
Golett, yeah.
Golett, sorry. Whichever one we got.
Oh,
I have plenty of taste. I'm gonna go lick a rock and see how it tastes. That's plenty of taste on that guy.
All right, Golett moves on. Let me go to the next matchup. That is Tangela versus Rhyhorn.
Ooh,
Tangela. For
I think Tangela. Yeah, I was gonna say I think Tangela clears easy.
Tangela is so cool.
This is a bunch of like little orbs we've got in this episode. I think in the subsections of like little guys who will survive Champs in the Making, you have to be an orb.
Yeah.
I've been a big advocate for let's have fewer just a little guys. So, you know, we're having them fight each other to the death. It's fine.
Rhyhorn's the like original Pokemon design or whatever, right?
That's right, yeah. I think. No, that's Rhydon, isn't it?
Yeah,
or
Rhydon.
Is it Rhyhorn? Okay.
Either way. They're both I didn't even realize for a minute that there were two different ones of these. They do nothing for me. It's just visual noise. This is the equivalent to me of like when you turn on a TV and it's just static. That is what this Pokemon is to me.
Damn.
Rhyhorn is like worse. It has, I was like, oh, it has the little stompy feet. It has a unique texture. I'm like, oh, it's worse on fan.
Yep.
Tangela from. It's probably Tangela. I'll defend Rhyhorn a little. I think it has a very good head shape. Like, Rhyhorn is the most puppy dog looking rhinoceros they could have possibly made a little bit, I think. I like its head. It has like the same thing like the Tyranitar line has where it's just got like a lot of like big, thick spikiness to it in a certain way. Tangela has the mystery. Are y'all Tangela?
Yeah.
I'm Tangela.
I'm Tangela, yeah.
I'll give Rhyhorn Tangela the sweet protest vote. I'll fight you. No, I'll give Rhyhorn the protest vote. I like its, I don't know. I like its little shape.
Hold up. I like Rhyhorn's shape too. Ooh. Oh, fuck. Well, I'm not sure where I'm at, actually.
Say more about Tangela. Everyone kind of just said Tangela and moved on. I want to hear more about why everyone likes Tangela so much. I don't dislike it, but I want to hear.
Just look at him.
Yeah, color palette's very gentle. I like the mystery. I like the two little eyeballs in this tangle of vines. I like that they gave it an evolution, right?
Yeah.
Pokemon?
Yeah.
I was going to say poison, but I said Pokemon instead.
I think it's just grass.
Little feet.
But I like that they gave it an evolution specifically because that thing is a monster with Eviolite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet.
I continue to really like the idea that Tangela is a like the thing from inside of a cloister that got tangled up in a bunch of like seaweed and plastic.
Whoa, I never heard that before. That's great. That's
my theory, but that's mine.
Oh, okay. That's a Jacqueline original.
A game theory.
It came up when we were talking about Venonat. What do y'all think it looks like under there?
I think this one's an orb.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, a thing.
But it could be, in the long tradition of games, it could just be like some guy in there.
God damn it!
Like it's.
Bill?
I don't know. It could be like, what if it's Professor Oak? I don't. This is not fun. Anyway.
I guess. What if it's Professor Oak?
Let's get the final votes. Clown.
Yeah, Tangela.
Jacqueline.
Tangela.
Jay.
Rhyhorn, it's a puppy dog.
Me, Tangela. Tangela moves on to round 6. Clown, can you give us the next matchup?
That was our that alarm went off. That was our final round.
Damn. Thank God, because this next one I was going to go down kicking and screaming, so help me God.
Oh, man.
Well, we'll have if to find out what that next is matchup, next yeah. time. So, thank you for joining us for Champs in the Making. Do you guys want to plug anything?
I want to plug the Moonshot Patreon. That's
yes.
patreon.com/... Someone Patreon, who knows it.
Patreon.com/moonshotnetwork.
There we go. I was like, is there a pod in there? Is there like a cast? No, it's just Moonshot Network. You go there and you can get episodes of Champs in the Making earlier than they come out in the public feed.
It's true. You can find out who we have sent to Christian Hill a week early.
And I think you even get your name read out at the end of these episodes, which
you,
I believe.
You sure do.
Marn will be, you'll hear from Marn at the end of this.
Marn will be reading a long list of names.
Who you also heard from giving a bad vote earlier.
Great vote.
Really good. The only right vote, some might say.
So, anything else? All right, well.
I don't think so. I think that covers
a deafening silence. So, until next time, bye.
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 In the Making, like all shows on the Moonshot Network, is made possible in part due to our lovely patrons on patreon.com/moonshotnetwork. Thank you to $50,000 of puppet school debt and a lifetime ban from Trader Joe's, A Failsafe, A Fell, Aaron Shelton, Alex Keswick, Alex Kyra, Amy, Andrew Sherman, Anissa Danny, Anthony Charlier, Ben Schwinn, Ben Active, Big Brother Benji Waterman, Birdlord 5000, Brian Melvin Stapleton, Christopher Byron, Circle Hunter, Claire, Colton Corbett, Daniel Miller, Danielle, Dapper Cuttlefish, Dean Dean, Etta Mendez, Eve Patty's Chicken, Electric Gaunt, Elias Rosner, Emma Shannon, Emery, Evan Jenkins, Philo T. Hazard, Flips MCL, Foonie Sherman, George Coulson, Grizzytron, Hamlet Cooper, Honeybee155, Impernia, Indigo, Ira Prince, Izzy Sykes, Jay Harkins, Jackie Asimov, Jacob Bennington, Jane Dataghost, Jay Petrican, Jeffrey Norris, Jice, Jen Wilses Arisotti, Jeremy Auer, Jesse Peterson, Joe DeVita, John Bruce, John Rattlemane, JWX, K, Kiefer, Lilith Penrod, Logan Jenkins, Lisso, Mammon, Marissa S., Martin S., Martin Lord, Mayday Knight, Michael Anderson, Michael Ornelas, Minty, Mr. Jakey Poo, Mockering Magpie, Mononymous Sam, Morgan Gate Levin, Mothman, Nick Pilaro, Picture is the Cutest Kobold, Bry Atticus, Rem Diaz, Real T-Rex, Roma Ostman, Rhino, Southian, Sam, Samantha Cook, Sarah McClintock, Sean Carpenter, Sheena Markov, Scoval, Sylvia Crow, Tindarkin, Tanner, The Great Gahul Tree Ribs Union, Theodore Monk, Tim Riley, Toasty Bread, Thomas Herbertson, Triple Jumpster, Turtle Lover 2244, Verdigris, Veer, and Voyen.